You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Proclaiming the Gospel, Our Wonderful Privilege. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Today we are beginning our 64th season of continuous broadcasting. For over six decades, God has enabled us to proclaim His gospel of His good news. In His mercy, our Lord has enabled us to proclaim His soul-saving gospel not only to our own nation, but to an additional 125 countries in 36 languages. At the early part of this century, this mission of bringing Christ to the nations was only a dream. 66 years ago, a young professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis believed that the then new miracle of radio could be effectively used to broadcast God's saving gospel. For the premier broadcast on October 2, 1930, Dr. Walter A. Meyer, for the opening paragraph, had a message that even today sounds amazingly applicable. This evening, Dr. Meyer said, we dedicate the message of our first broadcast to the fundamental conviction that there is a God and that the great and infinite Father of the entire human race, who has revealed Himself in many and remarkable ways, is no fantastic formation of superstition, no creature of childish tradition, no will-of-the-wisp of religious delusion, but that atheism, materialism, agnosticism, and all the many other similar theories, all which deny or question the existence of God, are not only irrational and disappointing, but also anti-scriptural and therefore destructive from every point of consideration. This hard-hitting introduction was not the extension of a man-made conviction. Instead, this forthright exposition of hope, based upon the belief in a God of mercy, was built solidly upon the foundation of the Word of God found in Psalms chapter 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This theme, that it is foolish to deny the existence of God, has been the underlying principle of every weekly broadcast for the past 66 years. Later, in his premier message, Dr. Meyer stimulated the hearts of the listeners by saying, misery has come to the millions who know no faith stronger than a trust in steel and stones and bank accounts. While bankers and politicians seek economic panaceas, the Lutheran Hour broadcast proposes a faith built not upon the towering heights of skyscrapers, but upon the love of God. A faith founded not on hoarded wealth and gilt-edged bonds, but upon the Scriptures and the sacred promise of our Heavenly Father. A faith that strengthens the mind and the heart for every challenge that life sends. Now, we all know, especially as we observe the past 66 years, that this time frame has been a period of great technological advancement in our culture. However, since the founding of this broadcast, the history of each decade offers ample evidence that in terms of providing hope for human hearts, our so-called modern society has been an absolute failure. Despair remains the number one killer, even among our most professional people. According to the Wall Street Journal, the same number of doctors take their life every year as the number of those who graduate from the Harvard Medical School. Even in the hearts of the most educated, and even in the hearts of the most wealthy, there lurks a black, dark spirit of despair. The answer to man's dilemma lies neither in money, materialism, nor computer technology. Man's only hope is in the gospel of God. The love of God, demonstrated on the crucifixion cross, is a public testimony that indeed God does exist and that He also cares. This God of the Bible has demonstrated His sacrificial love when He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us from the curse of our sin. And so therefore today, on the basis of the Word of God, we are prompted by the Spirit of God to echo the same words as those spoken at the very first transmission of this program 66 years ago from the Bible, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now, if in fact there is no God, then how does the atheist explain that for thousands of years the sun and the moon and the stars have all remained in their place? What is holding these huge bodies from crashing into one another? Nobody, not even the most brilliant minds, can explain this. However, instead of humbly confessing with the writer of the book of Hebrews that by faith we know that the world was created by the Word of God, atheists and agnostics constantly tried to explain the existence of the world by using a theory, the theory of evolution. Oh, how evolution has repeatedly, again and again, made absolute fools out of many of those who claim to be wise. For example, on December 18, 1912, the newspaper The Illustrated London News made the following announcement. They said, "A discovery of supreme importance for all those who are interested in the history of the human race was announced at the Geological Society on Wednesday evening, December 18. Mr. Charles Dawson of Lewes and Dr. A. Smith Woodward, the keeper of the Geological Department of the British Museum, displayed to an eager audience a part of the jaw and a portion of the skull of the most ancient inhabitants of England, if not in all of Europe." The London newspaper then bragged arrogantly in its conclusion when it said, "These remains, thus far recovered, leave no possible doubt, but they represent not merely a fossil man, but a man who must be regarded as affording unto us a link with our remote ancestors, the apes." Oh, incredible. Yes, incredible. Absolutely incredible. For decades, people actually believed this hoax of the Piltdown Man as it was reported in 1912 by the Illustrated London News. In the 1950s, however, this hoax was exposed as a horrendous fraud. Now, what is most interesting is this. It was not only the simple and the uneducated that were deceived. You see, by the time the Piltdown Man was exposed as the greatest fraud and hoax, no less than 500, yes, 500 doctoral theses had been written on this subject claiming that the Piltdown hoax was actually true. And so then, as we think of the great embarrassment of how many people were deceived, not only by this hoax, but also by other segments of the theory of evolution, we also know that many who believe in evolution also doubt the very existence of God. We are then also reminded again of our text and the words used 66 years ago during the premier broadcast of this worldwide ministry. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." God's entire plan of revealing himself has been a constant offense unto all those who consider themselves worldly and wise. For them, the wisdom of God expressed in Jesus Christ is a terrible enigma. Instead of being born in a mansion of the mighty, Christ was born in a stable of the simple. And instead of becoming a great political figure, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And instead of ending his earthly reign with power, Jesus ended it all by what appeared to many to be a terrible or a total defeat, death by brutal crucifixion. And instead of creating an empire that would perpetuate itself through conquering its neighbors, Christ's disciples began a ministry of love that is proven to be unstoppable worldwide. Over the centuries, many a man has indeed said in his own heart, "There is no God." And yet, the greatest offense that the skeptic and the scoffer see in Jesus is that through his death on the cross, others receive life. To the modern man, this seems totally absurd and stupid even. The Apostle Paul proclaims this irony with power when he says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, St. Paul says, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because, the Bible says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Oh, my friend, don't be a fool. Don't deny the existence of God. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that those who deny God are without excuse. This is what the Bible teaches. God's existence, you see, is truly revealed in His mighty creation. Even atheists have been deeply stirred and forced to remain silent at the magnificence of the Grand Canyon and by the overwhelming beauty of the Niagara Falls. Through His acts of creation, we know that God exists, and through His acts of love, especially the sacrifice of His only Son, we know of God's mercy. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, in Jesus, shall not perish but have eternal life. For God, the Bible says, did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through Him shall be saved. Now, the awareness of God's existence certainly helps all of us to understand life, and I think we would all agree with this. However, knowing what God has done for us in Jesus Christ is even much more important. You see, this is the knowledge which leads to a saving faith. This is the knowledge that saves us from the curse of our sins. And so it has always been the goal of every speaker on this broadcast for the past 66 years to present as the center of every message the good news that in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of God's grace. And then being bonded to Christ by faith, we understand what is the surpassing greatness of His power unto us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Christ at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and all authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And then the Bible continues by saying, God has put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Oh, for the past 66 years, from beginning to end, every speaker has tried to focus the heart and the core of every message upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Crucified on the cross for our sins, raised again for our justification, and now this crucified and resurrected Christ is waiting with great joy to welcome us unto His glory and to grant us the crown of His perfect righteousness, but not only to us, but for all those, the Bible says, who await His glorious appearance. Building upon this Christ-centered and uplifting focus, we can then repeat the closing words of the first speaker of this ministry, Dr. Walter A. Meyer, as he said in October 1930, men can live without money, without fame, and without erudition. They can eke out an existence without friends, without health, or without personal liberty and the possibility of the pursuit of happiness. But they cannot live in the fullness of a life that lives beyond the grave without God. Oh, indeed, God's word is true, because only a fool in his heart would say that there is no God. Reject this groundless philosophy of atheism and instead build your entire life and your eternal future upon the God of grace and mercy, in whom we live and move and have our being. Establish your faith and hope not upon a deceptive philosophy, but upon the Christ of history, who was crucified on the cross to pay for your sins and who was raised again so that you can stand holy and justified before our gracious God on the final day. O Lord, we pray, may this be true for all our listeners today, even as it was true 66 years ago at the first broadcast of this ministry of hope. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.